Is mis sé dúirní ghlach an. Is ceoltóir tradisiúnta me chréaltóir an é self-confessed seannós a fáil. I was reared on the seannós singing tradition. These songs have been a soundtrack to my life, particularly those associated with the West Cork Gaeltacht of Cúlé, where I spent an awful lot of my childhood. And so much so that in 2016, I went to Galway to do a PhD on the songs from the seannós tradition under An Ducht Dúir Lilas Ó'Léire. Now, the thing about seannós songs is that they're hundreds of years old and really they're windows into the lives of Irish societies of the past. What I find fascinating about these songs is the raw emotion that palpitates from them, sometimes hundreds of years after their composition. So, Seo é an Saoi Song Project. The whole idea behind this series is that we find out what these songs can tell us about the contemporary lived Irish experience today. After all, these songs have been a great medium of artistic expression and all through time. So I want to find out more about them and if they're still relevant to us in 2024. Today, I want to learn all about Uncanny Bon. It's an old song that's associated with the Waterford tradition. And to do that, I'm going to head south to An Seannófobail. This is Nicklás Tobin country, the late great seannós legend. Agus tá mé dul ag bualadh leis an dochtúir agus an ceoltóir Ciarán Ó Gealaimhin. Ciarán lectures in folklore in UCC, so I think he is especially suited to tell me more about the seannós tradition. Ma féchant amach ar rairc even ansa, cáfod míd Ciarán?
Well, ha tú anis sa seannófobail dúirn agus míd a fáil tú rót.
Well.
Ha tú féchant amach ar an meamúr an son anis.
Well, it's all in an rairca agus tá ma dinamh mach ar hana gair an lá cart.
Ha tán tú lá des.
Yeah.
Ní a gónaí a bhín si mar seo. And I'm sure. Ach, she could ask you about
it. Okay, yeah, she's the pushes. Yeah. She put the right foot out today. Anyway, that's it. Tá míd a dhe chiol mar chiol an sa sa bhala. Didn't make her bet art more Avron and Shamar Shah.
Well, art for Kyol, Shah. That's my mother in the Horan. He being couple Horan again, come again, though. That being the lads a golden Kyol. Has his take over a job, Dent, a Kostig and Sub, and she's Stachsenbach. She's an issue. We gum, there and Gamach Shamar Kyol going after. And the lads trace a good henny, any yeah.
Ach, well, isn't it great?
Yeah. Ach, isn't great? Her, fad,
yeah,
like, you know,
absolutely.
So, a spot for them to come and play a few tunes and.
Oh, I tell you, I'm sure there's plenty of music in this place here now. Anyway, I can imagine myself putting down a nice afternoon here with the fiddle.
You'd be welcome, Dern. We'd love to have you.
No. Yeah. Ciarán, you're a great man for the songs. You've done an awful lot of research on them yourself, and obviously you're a seannós singer. Will you tell me a little bit about your own background?
Well, yeah, I grew up here in the Gaeltacht, and I was fortunate enough to meet a lot of very knowledgeable people around the song tradition, you know, and especially going to school in An Ráig Ó Gúnach down there, I met Eileen Benny Honnacha, who was our headmistress for a while, and she had a tremendous store of songs, and later Áingí Chealaigh was our principal in the school, and these are people that had a deep interest in the song tradition, of course, and achieved great things. In the case of Áingí, she, you know, amazing singer, Corní Riata, Búite Féhóike. So these are the kind of people that influenced me in the beginning down there in An Ráig Ó Gúnach. Of course, coming out of the house here in An Seannófobail, my father and mother were very supportive of anything musical, you know. Mm-hmm. But down there in An Ráig then I got to know people like Seamus McCrae as well, you know, who were fantastic to me, you know, in terms of guiding me and teaching me and sharing songs with me, you know. Mm-hmm. So Seamus is still my go-to man anytime I have anything to discuss in terms of song, you know, he's
okay.
Tremendous knowledge.
So we'll blame him if we make any faux pas today.
Well, I suppose we can't blame Seamus for everything, but
well,
he certainly had a very deep influence on me. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, and the way I approach kind of songs and, you know, in the way I try to find out about them and the history that informs them. Yeah.
The last time I was down here was for the Fada Nicklás Tobin, which your brother Tomás has a hand in organising. You do too, I think.
No,
well,
I don't actually. I don't have anything really to do with the organisation of it, but he drags me in to do certain things, which is fantastic because it's the best of both worlds. Then you don't have to worry about the day-to-day stuff. You know, he's fantastic at that.
Okay.
But I do get roped in to do some very enjoyable things, you know. Absolutely. Concerts and things like that that are fantastic just to be involved in a kind of a peripheral kind of a way, you know?
Well, I think if you didn't, if you weren't aware of the song and singing tradition and music tradition here this side of the country, I mean, it's not maybe as well known as, you know, County Clare or places like that, but it is alive and well, and there's a great young gang that have taken a big interest in the music around here.
That's right, fantastic young gang. You know, the young people around here have really made the Tinole and the Claustrobeen, for instance, they've really made it their own. They've brought a new kind of a new energy and a new kind of vision to the entire Tinole, you know, which is fantastic to see. And thankfully, they kind of still ask some of the older ones ourselves. Like, they still ask us like what we think about the program and what improvements could be made and all of that. So that's wonderful to see. You know, these young people, they're so gifted in their own right, and then they're so happy to take on board comments and observations from the rest of us as well. You know, okay. And you're right. Like, this place maybe mightn't be quite as well known as Clare, but as far as the song tradition is concerned, it really punches above its weight. Tiny little pocket. This is just a tiny little Gaeltacht here. I think there's about 2,000 people in the entire place, you know. So it's an amazing thing that the language survived here, and then that the song tradition, it's acknowledged right throughout the country that there's a fantastic kind of tradition of singing down here, you know.
Yeah. This is what I find now, Leisin Seannos or Leisin Tradition doesn't have Ron. You think that you have heard them all, and then next thing, in this case, in case of Uncanny Bond, Theo Dorgan found this song and was asking me about it, and I hadn't a clue, and I went around asking people about it, and I was saying, Ciarán, I make out you might be one of the only people in the country, if not the only one in the country, who can give us a bit of insight into Uncanny Bond.
Well, in that note there, you're giving me tremendous license to say whatever I want.
I'm flamassing you, that's it.
No, it's an interesting little item in the tradition. In Lower Ardhe, a Kyolon Moon. Liam Donora was a great folklore collector. He worked for the Irish Folklore Commission in the 1940s, the early 1940s, I think 1940 to 42. And he collected a lot of songs around here, and one of them was Uncanny Bawn. He collected it from Seamus O'Connell, or Seamín, as we call him around here, Seamín, great singer, B'nach Dalish. But he collected it from Seamín when Seamín was only a teenager. And the date, I think, is the 30th of August, 1940. Wow. I spotted this inside in Kyolan on Moon when I was kind of doing a little bit of research. And I said, wow, I must go down and talk to Seamín about Liam Donora's visit. And particularly then about this song on Uncanny Bawn. And I was fortunate in 2010, that's 70 years after he had sung it for Liam Donora, I was fortunate to be able to record it again for him.
Isn't that amazing?
From him, I should say. Yeah, so it was an amazing moment, really, to hear him singing Uncanny Bawn and knowing that this had been documented from him 70 years earlier, you know.
Do you think now if I asked you about the words of a song in 70 years' time, would you still have them for me? I don't know.
I wouldn't have them for you next week.
But it's an amazing skill that goes with the songs, isn't it? That retention of memory.
It is. I suppose it has to do with the structure of the songs in the first instance, you know, the beautiful language that's used in these songs. But I suppose then the vivid images that are kind of shared in these songs, they stay with one, really, you know.
Well, I think you had the Copain and Scolara on you there when you were able to give me the exact date and everything that this song was collected, because of course, Ciarán, this isn't just something you do for sport as well. You're to do an ilte arrangement in the Navarone and Tide.
Neither me or Shin there not. We should all dull the clash in the Huskell of Kirkwig. Blianta Ochin, Agus Yin Mimichemon, Agus Hormiana Hymans and Hauranti, Marchidin Chemagum, nor Vimidin Chems of Elidus. On Chaeling Agus Bailidus. People used to ask me, what are you doing in college? Well, I'm doing Irish and more Irish. And of course, this is sick in a lot of Anglophones. But anyway. So I was fortunate to do my degree in the place that I did it. And I had a great love of song. And this was tremendously fostered then academically, you know, while I was going through. And it's like I went into the university and never left, really, you know. I often kind of say I never worked a day in my life because, you know, prior to that I'd been singing with Danu, and I was always kind of allowed or found a way to do the thing that I loved, you know. And this is another extension of it then, to be teaching folklore in UCC. And, you know, song is such an important aspect of that as well. There's a tremendous license to start bringing song and stuff into your modules and into your program, you know.
Yeah. I can imagine so. Yeah. Well, I'm going to come back to you about that. I'm being sidetracked with all the questions I want to ask you, Ciarán. Uncanny Bawn, Can you tell me a bit about the narrative of this piece?
Well, it's a little bit ambiguous, really, I think. You know, we don't know a terrible lot about it, maybe, but it seems to... Uncanny Bon, Dáithí Ó Hoghain, I think, translated it in being as Hermione as the white trader. Mm. Could maybe be interpreted also as the fair trader or something like this. Seems to have been the name of a ship.
Okay.
That travelled between Ireland and some part of North America. We're thinking Newfoundland. There's a bit of investigation still to be done here now on this, because there's a wonderful article written by John Mannion, who was a very, very good scholar on these matters. And he wrote an article that looks at maritime trade between Waterford and North America in the 18th century. And he talks about the very strong communication that was there at that time between Waterford and Newfoundland and North America in general. He gives us some fantastic sources that are yet to be investigated that might identify this particular ship, you know, as mm-hmm. one of those ships that travelled out of Waterford and sailed into Newfoundland. So the story seems to talk about this particular ship or trading vessel that experienced a severe storm at one point. And the story of the song really is how it came through this storm, how it weathered the storm, you know.
Mm. It's interesting, just when you were talking about that there, I was thinking, you know, I suppose how the community selects the songs that survive on. Obviously, this song is a very old song, but it was always a thriving fishing tradition here, and maybe something that has a storm to weather at the minute.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point there. It's a very interesting point there. And Shamin had this, I think, from his uncle. He learnt it from his uncle, Pats Fihil. Pats Noonan, who was a fisherman, if memory serves. So, I mean, and he said, furthermore, he said that it was in his family for some generations. Maybe that speaks to the point that you're making there, that the song actually spoke to that community, do you know?
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing then, I suppose, with the decline maybe in fishing in the area, that you see maybe items falling out of favour, as it were, in the repertoire, in the local repertoire. And this is a song I wouldn't have heard commonly sung around here. The only person I ever heard singing it was Shamin O'Ginnella. So that's an interesting point that you're making there.
Yeah, I'm interested in our character that's named in Uncanny Bon as well, Agha de Puir.
Yeah.
So
Agha Puir na Nárin.
Oh, a gha puir na Nárin.
You're absolutely right. But the Nárin is just a kind of a gha puir na Nárin is kind of a tír macana, or a kind of a, how would you translate that? They're in tír macana, kind of a pet name or something. Yeah, something like that, you know, an affectionate name. So gha puir. So this dá puir, it remains a mystery to me who dá puir was. Mm-hmm. I thought for some time that it might be the captain of the boat, but digging a little bit deeper into it and looking at other versions of the song that I've encountered, it seems to be a man of the surname Sergeant that captained Uncanny Bon. Further evidence maybe that needs to be looked into now in light of what John Mannion tells us in his article and sources that he outlines for us in his article there. So there's plenty of scope now for further investigation into the origins of this song and the exact details surrounding Uncanny Bon.
We'll have to do a series two.
I'd say to run into a third series. No, wouldn't
know. Well, what do you think, Ciarán? I'm going to do three of last come, Marcia.
Well, three of them, Mara Derham now, Ni Kaun Esha, a Derham Gaminik, Ni Ayr, Marcin, August Hob, Kakuig Versa in Sahagum, Daring of Wife, Better Kahian Ella Horlish.
Yeah.
I've looked at it in a number of different places. The National Folklore Collection throws up some very interesting versions of it.
Oh, wow.
But under other names, which is maybe the problem. You know, that's why we're not maybe able to find it so easily. It will be found under the name Slán Léire.
Okay.
Not Slán Léiring, interestingly enough, but Slán Léire. In a number of places, I found it under that name. Another name for it that I've encountered is Gá Puir na Nárin, that you mentioned there yourself.
Yeah.
And then Uncanny Fionn rather than Uncanny Bon as well. So there are a number of different names and they've maybe obscured the song a little bit for us in terms of our research, but interesting threads to follow up on nonetheless.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say I'm very excited because I actually haven't heard this song sung ever before either. I've no idea what the melody is, and we've been doing a bit. We had been going over and back on the emails and wrote a little later into the investigation as well. So this is kind of a nice ending to the whole quest to find out more about it.
You're kind of telling me I can do whatever I want.
I know, free reign. Artistic license, I think we call it. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll try it. Gehts lan chute ere gingerlen lam tu hagen. Maris fadu on helu han rechsonard mind. Varn down trenner hävlinge loskan. Nesjinge gudduchte rochndal verkyndan lein. Rappern narren mochas hus movaring. Ned aller bortar higgs kan en arder den labbe. Niden tyske gesava og nafaler joch lanne. Smarre vår djen grastart begann bas lantet henne. Madin khon khos kos meg tsher molab sna fader med en tarus revn tar hoch taring vin khner doy gans kan faller malert nesching tern teredi ro de dein milte kan kasse tachten hier de chaum talle wie un tar hoch knago Jeirig armat huhart leschen tapsu. De loik schist feg schen ist de gleich erna färöv da vokert suas beute stava gwind se gashu. Halt mal an Meister, mag reinge gedeute. Skal ja wohl schön mal ruhig werden, kehre Fosse. Ihr mich an Roundtops und Bowsprit wie dein Lennagus. Hall mich dann Kraun brach fjaus nartn neine.
Falter Arash to the Say Song project Lumsa Dhirni Lachan. Now in the first half of this programme we learnt all about the Shannos song on Caddy Bon from Waterford man Ciarán O'Gallivan. But I'm now going to meet one of my favourite poets, Theo Dorgan. Now, Theo has helped shape the modern poetry scene in Ireland today, and I am very intrigued to find out what drew him to Uncanny Bon. But firstly, I want to know, what importance does he place on the songs?
Well, when I grew up in Cork in the early, you know, into the late 70s, there's the Greenboro Folk Club, which Tana, Mick O'Brien, and Black Dog, Mick Daly, used to run with Jimmy Crowley and all sorts of other chancers and divils. And there's great music in the Phoenix, and the likes of Johnny Moynihan were coming down, and, you know, Press Gang. It's great music. But it's great traditional music coming through as well. You had Jackie Daly and Seamus Cray around, young Ono Riavig starting out as a baby piper, and he was a great piper, still is. So there was great music there, and it was a very natural thing for us. You see, I did my schooling in Irish, in St. Fáinne Ó Thuaidh. So there was no fear of, and there was no snobbery about it either. Yeah. Plus, it was a great advantage. We didn't know many middle-class people, because middle-class Cork would have looked down on the music now and the language as sort of the mark of a peasant culture.
Okay.
You know, three halfpence looking down on a penny. How could be there? Near a vein, Leshka or Ring. You see, we made a geishtuk. We were listening to Bob Dylan and we were listening to Joni Mitchell, we were listening to Pete Seeger, and we understood the centrality of folk music as an anchor in any culture. So there was no difficulty in understanding that about, you know, about our indigenous folk music in Irish and in English, the ballad tradition, for instance, and the songs that were being made new.
Okay.
So we were very lucky in that sense, my dear, if we wanted to be. I was very lucky that I had a note in my head. So
right.
I never felt any competitive urge to join in or so I was able to just sit back and savour.
Okay.
You know? And one thing that I've only noticed recently, actually, during, I mean, very recently, I remember more poems from school, Os Gaeilge, than Os Béarla.
Wow.
And I've sort of working at the moment on the notion it's because sound is an intrinsic part of the meaning of music. And the sound patterning in, you know, Gjojo Rishni Red, Khashlik Dilna Rek Malaita, come up the dawn, the shin.
Yeah.
Like a gun for it. The ones that come unexpectedly, like earworms as you're waking in the morning.
Yeah.
It's minic or Oscailgiad. They're often in Irish.
The dawn that you picked, I had never heard this song before. And I would qualify myself as a Shannos nerd. So you gave me a bit of homework as well to go researching the song. And it was great because it's, you know, a lot of the time we reach for the old favourites that everybody knows. So it's great.
And I'd be as guilty as the next. Except thanks to the library angel. You know, the library angel, right?
Okay.
In case there's anybody out there who doesn't know, you walk through a library and a book reaches down, the library angel taps you on the shoulder, you put your hand out without looking, you pick a book, and that's the book you need to read now. But I was inside in that wonderful national treasure house, the Traditional Music Archive. The nicest people in Ireland, actually.
I agree. There.
They really are.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was there and I wanted, I knew I wanted something, you know, you have a kind of, You wake up in the morning, you have a goo for something you want to taste. You can taste, but you don't know what it is till you come across it. And I knew I wanted something to do with the sea.
Yes.
And I knew I wanted Rodéigin na Chatiante. I knew I didn't want to reach for all the usual suspects.
Okay.
Right? And I just put my hand up, I pulled it out and flicked it. And I came across Uncanny Bawn.
Okay.
Now, I had forgotten the word for merchant. Canny.
Yes.
Right? Bishop Jarruthigam, Vian Focal Jarruthigam, you know. I can just watch. I said, what's this about? And of course, like growing up in Cork, I was always fascinated with the idea of the sea trade to Spain and southwestern France that came in and out through the port long before it became a major port for the British Royal Navy and so on. I used to slag Heaney. I said, what's this obsession with the cold north? Just be like us. Look south to the Mediterranean and grapes and sunshine and long evenings, you know.
Yeah.
But where I grew up in Cork, as a port city, the orientation was always to the south.
Okay.
And, you know, the way south was over the sea roads.
August
Maradar and Viasishak is a Tashka. August Kurislav Suas or Nashelfana. Or Nusan Shelfna Shintala and Dilia. Haringis and Nuas and Laura. Oh, yeah. Shinorunach.
Wow.
Well, Tasulin will Arunach.
Oh, absolutely, Arunach. Absolutely. I was very taken with it. Ar Hoogse Vadert on Tashruchanian, did it take you long to do that translation? No. Well, I think.
Nor Armara, nor Hot, nor Hoog.
But I think that that's a good sign of, you know, a translation because the Béarla, it reads very like a song. Like you could very easily sing the translation that you've given us. You know, if I didn't know that that was based off an Irish language song, I wouldn't have known that because I wasn't familiar with the song.
Well, see, it's a great help to translation if you have a strong rhythm.
There you go.
It's a great help, but it can also be a crucifixion.
Oh, I'd say so.
Because, you know, it depends. I mean, you see. Everybody says that the Dúnara is a marvellous book, and it is, you know, the Kinsella and Othuama translation, except I find the translations very dry.
Okay.
There, Kinsella had this thing always about accuracy. He was a civil servant to the core. Accuracy and dryness.
Okay.
We have our own English here. And there was a time when people were embarrassed because there was a kind of what they called stage Irish was being taken to the fair and had become ridiculous and embarrassing. But that was masking the fact that we have a very fluid and supple and very exact English of our own here, because the syntax of Gaeilge is running through it. And Irish is in love with the conditional tense, you know, whereas mainstream English loves nouns and verbs, nouns and verbs. Okay. And I think Kinsella's translations are far too dry. Mm. But if you relax into Irish English, translating from the Irish is a lot easier.
Will you give us a reading of The White Merchant, which is your translation of Uncanny Bone?
The White Merchant. Making east from Kinsale, the timbers were groaning. The mate went aloft as high as the truck. He called and he roared to the crew down below, "You're all going to drown, you're sailing a wreck." "Dave Power, my friend, you have my heart broken. No bed on that vessel, no comfort, no rest. You'll get no sweet water nor ale for your thirst, but death will come for you unless God comes first. We've lost the boat's master, cheerful and decent. We danced at his wedding, we toasted his health. We've lost the great bowsprit, the mainsail and topsail, but we still have the mainmast and a gallant crew."
Seachtain the Say a Song project, and this series was produced by Dáine Productions and supported by Commission the Man for RTE Radio 1. Be with us next week when we meet Owen O'Canavan agus Alvin Jorvig, and we discuss the song Molly Nibuel Owen. Is féidir éisteach siar leis an gláir seo agus gach clár eile sa strath ar an app.